How many of you believe the Lord is your healer in this place? Hallelujah. I am so thankful that we don't have to necessarily put all our confidence and trust in physicians, even though they're fighting the same battle that we are. Amen. But we've got the great physician. And nothing is impossible to him. When the doctors might look at you and wipe their hands and say, look, there's nothing else we can do for you, you should rejoice. You know why? Because you've got God living on the inside of you that can do everything they cannot do and more. Praise God. God is good. Amen. God is good. I like to add this too. God is good all the time and the devil is bad all the time. Amen. Right? And that's right. God does good too, Connie. Praise God. Well, if you got your Bibles, let's open them up to Romans chapter 10. Romans, the 10th chapter. I'm going to just confess to you guys that I don't know if it's... I'm just now coming back from a week-long vacation or something like that, but I really struggled with what I was supposed to share with you this week. And usually, all of you guys that know me, no, I don't usually struggle with that. Usually, I've got pretty clairvoyance from the Lord on what direction to go. But I think it was really my fault. And the reason why was because the first thing that came up in my heart was along the same lines as what I taught last time, which I believe was August the 18th that I had healing school. And I was like, yeah, you know, in my heart just kind of was like, you know, I taught on that already, Lord. And, you got a lot of other good things that we could share with the people. And so I went in my mind to this subject and that and thought about all these different things, but just couldn't get any traction. And so when my head hit the pillow last night, I had zero idea what we were going to talk about today. But joy comes in the morning. When I woke up, I knew that I just flat missed it and overthought it and knew that we were supposed to talk along the lines of what we did last time. So, for those of you that were not with us, back in August when I taught the last time, we taught on the subject of the heart and how it is with the heart man believes. Amen? And we see this verse here in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. And all of you that are of the Baptist persuasion, you know what Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10 is. What is it? It's the last signpost on the Romans road to salvation, praise God. This is what is preached, and it's actually a really good formula of how to share the gospel with somebody, because this is ultimately the culmination of how salvation enters one's life. But what we learn here at High Point Church is salvation is not just your get-out-of-hell-free card. Salvation is not just about being born again and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and having the promise of heaven. And it does include that, and that's by far the greatest thing. But salvation, the word in itself, comes from the word sozo or soterion. And ultimately what this word means is it describes wholeness. It describes deliverance. It describes being rescued and being saved from something. But it's not necessarily just talking about hell and sin. Now, thank God we're saved from sin and we're saved from hell, amen. But there's a lot of other things that we have been saved from. And one of these things is what we're here meeting together to do today. Sickness and disease is in the package of salvation. Amen. And I can give you a lot of different scriptures that will back that up, but the Lord is very clear in the Word of God that just as much as He forgave our iniquities and our transgressions and our sins have been paid for, our sicknesses, our diseases, and our weaknesses were also placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ when He hung on that cross. So we can declare that not only was He wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, but by His stripes we are and were healed. So healing is a big part of our salvation package. So when we read a verse like this, we're not just looking at it from, okay, well, this is how I get born again. This is also how I receive all other elements of salvation in my life, which includes healing. So let's look at this verse from that perspective. Now, Paul is making a big point here, and we're going to interject into the middle of a sentence, but in verse 9 he says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So how is it that a person is saved? It's when they confess with their mouth and they believe with their heart. And that's a very important part of what we're going to talk about today. He goes on to say in verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, I think we've lost a lot of really what this is supposed to be doing in our life in a lot of our modern day churches because we just flat out don't do things right. And one of the things that we don't do right is we have this idea that, okay, well, you can go witness and share Jesus with somebody or share your testimony out on the street, and if they say that sinner's prayer with you, then they're good, right? Well, there is something else that's supposed to happen according to these verses we just read. It's not just about somebody believing in their heart. It's about somebody confessing with their mouth. So another very important aspect of salvation in our lives is that when somebody comes to the place that, yes, they believe in their heart, but they also have to back it up with a public profession of their faith. Okay? And this is what the writers of Hebrews were making a very strong point about when you read the book of Hebrews, that they would talk about hold fast to your what? Confession. All right? Now, what is that talking about? Your profession of Jesus Christ in the presence of many witnesses. When you stood before other people and said, I'm here to tell you today that my name is Trey and I am saved. And Jesus is now my personal Lord and Savior, and I have made Him the Lord of my life. And I'm confessing before all of you guys today that today I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. My life is not my own. Jesus is Lord. And when you do that, it means a lot more than what maybe some people might think it means. Because then, when you make that public profession of faith, you got to hold fast to that. You don't relent. You don't go back and start saying something else. You hold fast to it. Now, when it comes to other elements of your salvation, that's how important that is too. Some of us need to stand up before this group today and say, hello, my name is Trey Dickerson, and no, I am not an alcoholic. Today, I am the healed of the Lord. I am healed by His stripes, and now I am holding fast to that confession, no matter how bad the symptoms get, no matter what the doctor tells me, no matter how bad I feel, I am the healed of the Lord. And I'm holding fast to that confession, just like I am the one that Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. Amen? So all of this works to produce salvation in our life, and I want you to notice it's very specific. Because it talks about, in verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." Now, what does that mean? That the way you and I are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And for those of you that might be visiting with us today, or maybe have never heard that before today, you are, if you're a born-again believer, are just as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ is right now. It usually gets about that quiet when you say things like that. But it's the truth, because you're not standing before the Lord in your own righteousness. Now, I know the other scriptures that we'll throw out there, well, your righteousness is as filthy rags. That was you pre-Christ. But Trey B.C. might have been that way. But Trey A.D. is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and so are you, whether you realize it or not. But how did you become the righteousness of God in Christ? It was when you believed, say it with me, with your heart. Okay? It's not just believing with your head. And the last time I taught on this, I made a different point about it. Is you remember over in James, where it talks about how faith without works is dead, right? And those are important verses because it really shows it's where the rubber meets the road of really if you do believe in your heart or not. Because one of the verses says, no, you got to know that with faith without works is dead. And he goes on to say, he said, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Now, I'm telling you, this is one of the most condescending comments in the entire Bible. You believe there's one God? Everybody says, amen. Even the demons believe and tremble. And what that verse is saying is this, is just believing in your head that God is one and He is the one true and living God is not enough to save you, because even the devil and demons believe that. So there's got to be corresponding action, which is a production of the heart. When I believe with my heart, there will be corresponding actions with what I say I believe. So this is how one gets made righteous. Amen? So if you truly believe in your heart, Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, you got the works to back it up, and you just know that you know that you know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, rejoice today, because you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But did you notice that that's only half of the statement, and that had nothing to do with being saved? Because what does the second half of the verse say? After he says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So salvation doesn't come simply because somebody believes in their heart or with their heart. I know that might be a revolutionary concept to some people. Well, I believe with all my heart today. Yeah, but what are you saying? The salvation comes by saying. So the saying would be confessing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior before people. Salvation, when it comes to healing, which is included in salvation, comes when you open your mouth. Amen. Not just believe in your heart. Now, believing with your heart, we're going to make a big point about this today, is the most important thing. That's why it's put first. And when I believe with my heart, the confession of my mouth comes as a byproduct. You know, and I've made this point before that it's not hard to find out what people believe, right? It's hard to find out what people believe when you only see them on church Sundays. Why? Because when we show up for church and we got an hour and a half together or whatever it is, it's easy to put a mask on. It's easy to put a front on. It's easy to say all the right things, sing all the right things, and do all that. But there's a big difference between Sunday morning and Monday morning. And what are we saying? What is the outflow of our heart during that time? I was joking with Levi, this is my son. He's 15 years old now. And, you know, I'm pretty blunt with him and stuff like that. But he was talking to me the other day about something that certain people do. He was talking about some of his friends doing certain things. And I of course, had to bring to his attention that, Levi, you do the same thing. You did the same thing last week. I said, Levi, you're now of the animal kingdom. You're a hypocrite. No, I'm just joking, but what I'm saying is that's called hypocrisy, to say one thing and really be a different thing on the inside of us, right? So what we're talking about here is it's really easy. If you spend some time with somebody and you talk with them and you bring up certain subjects, what do they light up like a flower when they talk about? What just easily comes out of their mouth when they're in discussion with you about something? You know, it'd be like if we have lunch here, you know, we have lunch as a staff here. And when we do, you know, if Pastor Robert and Bruce and others start talking about auto mechanics, I clam up. I'm not going to say anything. That's not in my heart at all. But if we start talking about something else that I'm actually interested in and there's got a portion of my heart, then, you know, man, I might start chattering a lot, right? Have you ever noticed that when you get around certain people that they can be all nice and sweet, but then you bring up brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and their countenance changes, and their tone changes, and it's like they start spewing out things during that time, and you're like, whoa, 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 honey, what is going on here? My point is that you can, a lot of times, if you spend enough time with people, you can find out real quick what they have in their heart. It's funny, you can hang out with grandparents, you know, and I'm not a grandparent yet, so maybe I just can't relate to this, but you can talk to them, and they might be a quiet person, but then you ask them about their grandson or their granddaughter, I mean, they just go on and on and on about it, and you're like, whoa, we see what's in your heart. That's right, I'll do it too. But my point is that should we have anything in our heart more than this stuff? Shouldn't this be the number one thing we love to talk about and that just comes up. Now, I'm not working up to do it. It just happens. Because why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth... Here's Trey's translation. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaketh. I know it says speaketh, but what does that mean? It's just what comes out. That is what's indicative of what's in our heart. Okay? And we're just seeing right here in this verse that I got to believe with my heart some things. Because what I found is, when it comes to something like what we're doing right now with Healing School, it's really easy for people to think that they believe because they are agreeing to some facts and they're acknowledging that something is true. But when the rubber meets the road, when the pressure's on, when the symptoms get bad or the doctor gives them a diagnosis, they are not necessarily saying the same thing then. And I'm just saying this not to condemn anybody, but just to say we need to look at this because this shows me what I believe with my heart. And if I don't believe it with my heart and I'm just agreeing with it in my head, I'm not really going to be producing its fruit in my life. I need to be getting some healing in my life. So what I got to do? I got to believe with my heart and confess with my mouth. Now, I was brought up in a group. I am so thankful, as the Apostle Paul says right here in verse 8, he said, this is the word of faith that we preach. And I am so thankful that the Lord exposed me to the word of faith. And I tell people that when I was born again, amen, I came right out of the spiritual womb chewing Copenhagen, praise God. I mean, I had a big old wad of it in my mouth, and I carried around that tin can, ping, just spitting right on in it, because I was filling my heart with the word of faith. And it's a good thing, and it's a wonderful thing, and I'm so thankful I learned about the power of confession. But I've learned something since then. And I've learned that it's not just about saying the right thing. It's about believing with my heart and then saying the right thing. You know, the Lord spoke to me one time and He said, Trey, do you want to know what it means to speak a true confession? You know, we talk about confessions. What does it mean? How do you know when you're really speaking a true confession of faith? And you know what He said? He said, when it doesn't feel like a confession. Meaning what? If I really believe something in my heart and I'm trying to get different results, I'm trying to say the right thing, is it natural to say that or does it seem really hard to say that? Is my heart really telling me something different? And so I'm trying to say things, but it's like I'm just going uphill. It's like I'm trying to run a mile on the beach with it's got deep sand. You know what I'm saying? It's just, this is hard. This is not the way it should be. And so the Lord was showing me is, what's more important than the confession of your mouth? Now, the confession of your mouth produces salvation. But what's more important than that is believing in your heart. And then the natural outflow of that. That way, you're not even having to think about it. Somebody just comes and pushes your button, and you're like, boop, by His stripes I am healed. Boop, He Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. I mean, that's the first thing that comes out. It's not me, all right, what's the right thing to say? I don't want them to think I'm unspiritual by saying the wrong thing right now. So let me make sure I say, what's the verse? How do I look it up? You see what I'm saying? That's not going to produce fruit. It's not going to produce salvation. What will, though, is when I hide God's word in my heart. My heart gets filled with the truth of God so that when I am the watermelon Christian, you remember that? I talked about the watermelon Christian last time. Oh, good. I get to tell this story again because y'all acting like you ain't heard it. I heard Joyce Meyer say this one time, and I really like this statement. She said, you don't really know what your fruit's made of till it gets squeezed. Right? Have you ever noticed that? You can have somebody gives you an orange. Oh, man, this orange sure does look good. You cut into that thing and eat it, and it's not that good. Watermelon Christians would be this because, in my opinion, watermelon is the greatest fruit that exists out there, praise God. And I have still not come to the place of truly being able to decipher the perfect watermelon when I pick it out. Now, I know people will tell you all the little things they do. You look for that little yellow spot on it, right? You thump it and make sure it's hearing the right noise. I've heard all those things, but it's not a flawless process to pick out the perfect watermelon. Likewise, it's not flawless for us to try to pick out the Christians that really have good fruit. Because why? I can have that little yellow spot on my rear end from sitting in these pews for years. I can sure look like it on the outside, and you might even be able to thump me. Don't thump me, Johnny, but you might be able to thump me, and I might make the right sound. But when you cut me, I might not be as sweet as I appear to be on the outside. So another way that we tell the quality of the fruit is what? When you get cut, when the pressure's on, when the adversity is there, that is one of the number one ways to find out what somebody truly believes in their heart during that time. And I've come to find this out. I'll let you know. I've dealt with the same thing. I can stand here all day. Oh, bless God. Sister, it's so wonderful to see you today. And isn't it so wonderful that Jesus is Lord today and He is our healer? And then symptoms come up real bad in my body. What's the thing that comes out of my mouth then? Oh my God. God, bail me out. Don't you want to heal me? Wait, you just said I was your healer and now you're asking me to heal you. You see what I'm saying? It's that hypocrite that we're talking about right now. Amen. So what we're trying to decipher here, what we're trying to determine is, do I really believe something in my heart? And how do I get my heart in that condition? So the last time we taught on this, I gave you an illustration. I'm not going to give you my own personal definition of what I believe the heart is, because I think the Bible is not very clear to let you know what the heart is. When you look at it from a scriptural perspective, it's difficult. I know there's some people say it's your spirit, and some people say it's your combination of your spirit and soul. I think some of those things are theories. And you know what theories are? Brother Hagin told us what a theory is. Let me see if I can say it again. What is a theory? It's an idea built upon the ignorance of the fact under discussion. We're just ignorant. We don't really know. Right? So we can theorize about that all the time. Bottom line is, whatever you might believe about the heart, I'm going to tell you today, it's important. And how we guard it and how we keep it and how we prepare it is absolutely vitally important. Just like it's important how you guard your physical heart. Right? Now, arguably, you've got two organs in your body that are the most important organs, right? You've got your heart, and you got your brain. You are not going to exist without either one of them, right? But I've come to discover something. I actually believe with all my heart that your heart is the most important organ. You know why? Because I've actually seen some people exist walking around this earth without brains. So in finding out that there's a lot of people out there that obviously don't have a brain, it's the heart that's more important. I say that in jest. But what I'm saying is your heart is absolutely vital. Because why? Your heart is the wellspring of the blood of your body. And Leviticus chapter 17 teaches us something about your blood. It says the life is in the blood. Right? So if this pump that I have in me is funneling that blood to the rest of my body, then you might say that the spiritual, immaterial heart that we're talking about is what? It is where the issues of life come from. And isn't there a scripture that says something about that line? Let's go over there. Let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 4. Oh, I hear you, Lord. Thank you. He's faithful, Jessica. He's faithful, Charlotte. He's faithful. Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, I'll give you an overview of Proverbs real quick. I was thinking about this week, and if there's one thing about healing that I think is one of the most important things to understand, it is this. And I got this revelation because we at this church had studied the subject of wisdom. This was several years back. And one of the things that I did was I went through the book of Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, and I categorized each one of those proverbs. All right, so if it was under finances, I put it there. If it was under physical health, I put it there, right? And I found something in doing that when it came to the physical health part. I found that the book of wisdom reveals to us that our physical health is directly tied to our inner health. I mean, I can give you tons of scriptures. One of them we can all quote in this place. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Right? And I used to think a merry heart does good like a medicine. I used to think that meant if I laugh more, it'll work like a medicine in my life. And I think there might be some truth to that, maybe. But I don't think that's what he was saying. I think what he was saying was, when you have a merry heart, it works like a medicine. In other words, when your heart is happy, it has a medicinal effect on the outward person. There's another proverb that says, a sound heart is life to the body. That's not talking about physically. It works that way physically. Having a healthy physical heart muscle in there is going to produce good life in your physical flesh, right? But I believe what he's saying there is your spiritual and material heart being sound, being whole, being saved, being healthy will produce life in you physically. And there's tons of other verses that back that up. But the bottom line is this. A lot of times our outward man is a reflection of our inward man. And so what I've come to find out is that I need to really make sure my heart is healthy, my heart is whole, so that I'm not dealing with maybe some chronic physical issues out here. I think some of them are directly tied to that. That doesn't mean everything that we're dealing with in the flesh is because there's some problem in the heart. It can be a demonic attack. It can just be the effects of the world and things like that. But I am here to tell you today that as a general rule, the thing that will keep you healthy outside is being healthy inside. And what's Pastor Trey's favorite signature? If I sign anything, I just sign my first name, Trey. And on that little Y line that goes out there, I put a little verse. 3 John 2. Which says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Help me now. Just as your souls prosper. That means in proportion to how you're prospering in your soul is how you'll prosper on the outside. Amen. I mean, you look at it from a financial standpoint. It's not hard. You can go around and you can look at people who have been proficient in their life at making and keeping money, prospering financially. And guess what? You'll find out. They have a head for it. Their soul has prospered in that area, right? So, and then the people that go out there that don't have a head for money, that are going out there buying lottery tickets all the time, trying to get the quick get-rich-quick kind of thing going on, what happens? They win, that money is gone within a matter of weeks or even months or something, right? Why? Because their soul hasn't prospered, right? So it's this way with our physical health. So all of these verses back up what I'm about to show you here in Proverbs chapter 4, which ironically enough are the first verses we ever shared at this healing school. I believe this is the best way to get healed. Let's look at it. Proverbs 4. Verses 20 through 23. Are all of y'all here this morning? Y'all ain't checked out on me, have you? You're not thinking about that spud and that salad and all that stuff you're about to get here in a minute, are you? I lost some of you. We're going out to eat afterwards. Verse 20, look at this. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, when Solomon wrote this, I can guarantee you, verse 20, when he said, "My son," he wrote this for the benefit of his own sons, right? Thank God, man, to have good parents like that, that really lay it all out for you. But we know something, don't we, Judy? We know that these verses like this are not just inspired by man. Man didn't decide just to write these things, but even when Solomon wrote this, even though he might have been intending just to leave it for his physical descendants, we know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Therefore, our Heavenly Father was inspiring that pen as Solomon wrote these words. So I can read this as saying, "My son," like my Heavenly Father is talking to me. My God is giving me some instructions, just like Solomon was giving his sons. So you reckon if your daddy is giving you some good instructions, you reckon you ought to pay attention to it a little bit, especially when his name is the Almighty and when he knows a whole lot more than even your natural parents did, right? So he's going to give us some instructions. This is important. He tells us to give attention to my God's words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And then he goes on to tell us why you need to do that. But I want you to notice here, you know what he's basically giving us? The same thing you find when you pick up your medicine bottle and you turn it around on the side and in that small print, directions for use. Right? Take 2 tablets in the morning, full glass of water, don't take this on an empty stomach, you know, all the different things our medicines tell us to do. This is what God's telling us to do right here. He's giving you the instructions on the medicine bottle to show you how health comes. Okay? Now, he gives you four very important things to do. The first one is, give attention to my words. Now, I'm going to tell you, this one right here, this is so important for our generation today, because how many of you know, we've got the shortest attention spans in our world today than we've ever had. Right? I mean, it was a difficult thing for me when I started making videos and putting them out there online, and I'd preach for an hour. And then I started realizing something real quick. I better shorten these things to 10 minutes, or most people aren't going to get the awesome experience of actually completing listening to the teaching. Because we are living in a drive-through, breakthrough mentality. But what we've got to learn is that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you got to do something. You got to give attention to what you're listening to. Amen? I love it when Jesus was teaching the most important parable he ever taught, the parable of the sower. The sower. You know what he ends up saying in there? He said, "Stop and listen." When I was a little boy, a little young buck in elementary school, we had this PE teacher. His name was Coach Netherly, and he was a big guy, huge guy, and he coached the football team and all this kind of stuff. And man, all of us kids just running around, not paying attention to the instructions he was trying to give us. And we were just running around doing whatever, but he knew how to get our attention. With that big, burly voice, he'd stop and go, "Stop, look, and listen." And we're like, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir." We'd get in line. That's what God's saying right here. Give attention. Pay attention. Make sure you are focusing on this. Because it's not going to be about you giving a half-hearted attention to something that's really going to make it capture your heart. You got to pay attention to what His words are and give it your undivided attention. Which He goes on to say after this, "Incline your ear to my sayings." Right? What does that mean, incline your ear to my sayings? Well, I think the greatest illustration of this is with our little doggies. Have you ever noticed that? My little doggie, Bluesy, she's always listening for something. And you just rattle a water bottle, she's coming. A little bag starts opening of potato chips, she hears that crinkling, here she comes. If I'm walking her down the road and she's walking before me, this is crazy, but this dog, she's got the cutest little ears, but while she's walking ahead of me and not looking at me, if I start saying anything that's in her direction or something she's interested in, those ears point backwards. You know what she's doing? She's positioning her ears. She's inclining her ears to make sure she hears better. Now, some of us, we do this like if we go to a restaurant, right? I've had to start doing this. I don't hear as great as I used to. So if I'm sitting across the table with somebody and it's a loud restaurant, I might do this if I'm really trying to hear what they're saying. I cut my ear and I hear better. Shoot, I'm hearing myself better right now when I do this. What are we doing when we do that? We are inclining our ear, right? So like that dog, you say, do you want to go for a walk around the neighborhood? Huh? I mean, she'll just incline that ear, praise God. Just getting ready in a position here. What does this mean? It's what it means. God is saying, incline your ear to my sayings. He's saying what? Get yourself in the best position to hear what I'm saying. Right? Now, what might that be? It might be different for you, but some of us, we need to learn how to turn the radio off. Turn the television off. Let's get quiet. Let's put ourselves in the best position to really be able to hear what God is saying. So eliminating some things from our life, embracing other things, would be how you do this. Then he says, do not let them depart from your eyes. I love it. I mean, and this does not mean that you do some weird, spooky thing like the Jews did early on when God told them, make my word, make my commandments like frontlets to your eyes. Oh, okay, Lord, we'll do that. We'll go build these little contraptions called phylacteries, and it's a little wooden box that we're going to put on our head, and then we're going to write the scripture and roll it up on a little thing and put it down in this little box. Look, Lord, I did what you told me to do. I made your word the frontlet before my eyes. And God's like, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, that hurt a little bit. What that meant was, you've got to keep it on the forefront of your mind. Keep it in front of you constantly. Now, the way you do that might be different than the way I do that. It might be that you write the scriptures on a sticky note and you stick it on the dash of your car. Whatever it is, do it. Figure out a way to keep God's word ever before you. Why? Because this is how you guard your heart. This is how you fill your heart with something. Amen? Then he tells you right after that, keep it in the midst, keep them, his words, his sayings, in the midst of your heart. Whew. What does that mean? See, we're talking about medicine here. What is the point when you take a pill that is supposed to get you better? It's to get it in the midst of your body, in your stomach, so that it can start to assimilate into the rest of your body. That's what he's trying to do. He just told you three ways to get the pill in your belly, and get it down in there so that it starts working in your life. When you give attention to his words, you don't let them depart from your eyes, and you incline your ears to his sayings. When it gets in the midst of your body, guess what happens? The same thing happens that happens when you get some medicine that actually does work. I know there's medicines that don't really work. When you get them down in your belly, what happens? Man, if I take an Advil or something like that, I know if I got a headache and I take that Advil, it's just a matter of time. That headache is gone. Unless we're dealing with migraines or something like that. But I'm talking, it works, right? This works too. This works even better. Is that when you do this and take it with the prescribed formula, guess what happens? Verse 22 starts happening. For they, his words, his sayings, are life to those who find them. Oh my gosh. How many of you will have some of that? How would you love to have more of the life of God in your life? And I'm going to tell you, whether you realize it or not, you do want the life of God in your life. I mean, it changes the quality of your life. You're more happy. There's no edge. I mean, you are just, your heart's full. They are life to you when you find them. And health to some of their flesh, the important parts of their flesh that they just can't live without, all their flesh. You know what that means? That means that any physical part of your body that's not functioning the way God created it to function, any part of your flesh that's broken, that has something missing, that has something in it that doesn't need to be there, all your flesh, when you do what we just talked about, it produces health in your flesh. In fact, the Hebrew word that's used for health here is the word for medicine. So it's medicine to all your flesh. So, going back to the heart thing, these truths need to live in our heart. Because you know why? If this was living in your heart, you'd be acting, arguably acting as weird as I am right now. Because why? Because this really works. This is real. It will produce health in me. If I just do this, it's none of this, oh God, if you will, is it your will? Is it your plan for me? God, bail me out. No, this is God telling you, look, baby, I gave you the medicine bottle. Look, it's like your kid. You tell your kid to brush their teeth and floss. You know how it works, don't you? I mean, I did it when I was a kid. Run it up under the water, the toothbrush, you know, and put it there and make my parents think I brushed my teeth. None of y'all did that. All of y'all did everything your parents told you to do, took everything they told you to take, and did all these kind of things. Well, listen, if the parent provides the toothbrush, the toothpaste, the mouthwash, tells them how to do it, instructs them how to do it, and the kid just persists in never brushing their teeth, and then their teeth start rotting and falling out, whose fault is it? It's the kid's. It ain't God's fault. Likewise, this ain't God's fault either. If He said this is health and medicine to all my flesh, then it's up to me to take the medicine. It's up to me to take it the way He told me to take it. And not waiting till I get into an emergency to where I have to now get bailed out of it. That's not even the best way to do it. What this does is it's like preventative medicine. That's why I believe in divine health, not just divine healing. How many of you know it's a whole lot easier to keep weight off than to get it off if I got too much on me, right? That's where I think a lot of us are, is that we might not have been doing this as much as we should have, and now we're trying to get the weight off. We're trying to get that beach body. Last second, you know, like everybody does. But that ain't how it works. It's a lifestyle. We're living this way. Doing what? Constantly taking our medicine from the Lord. And what are we doing? When we do this, and I'll end with this, verse 23 happens. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I'm seeing this by the Holy Spirit right now. Verse 23. Three is the fruit, not even further instruction. It's the fruit of doing verses 20 through 22. You have kept your heart with all diligence so that it's springing forth the issues of life in your life. When you have done what? As His children, given attention to His words, inclined your ears to His sayings, not let them depart from your eyes, kept them in the midst of your heart, then it starts producing this life and health in every area of my life, and then my heart is kept. It is healthy. It's protected. Amen. It's kind of like, we were talking about eating certain foods last time when we were talking about this, and I was telling you the point that it's like what preachers you listen to is really important. Big time. And I think every Christian should have, especially every preacher, should have like the things on the side that cereal boxes have. You know what I'm talking about? Sodium and, you know, and fat and all the different stuff that it lists that is in the box that you're about to be eating, right? I think Christians should have those. You know, find out, man, this preacher right here is like 95% condemnation. This preacher right here, man, he's 40% filler. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And those are the preachers who just tell you stories and do all the different stuff but don't give you really any substance from the Word of God. I'm so thankful, glory to God, we preach the Word here. And when you get the Word, man, with no additives or preservatives, and you really hear it the way that you need to, glory be to God, with the hearing comes the healing. And then it starts working in your life. So you're, because your heart's being kept. Amen. This is how you get your heart in the condition it needs to be in to believe God with it so that you start seeing the fruit in your life. And I want to see that for every person in here. I want to see it for myself. I want to see it for y'all. I want us to see the quality of life God said we can have. I had a conversation with a person last night, and we were talking about this person had been going through a big trial in their flesh, and they were going through a lot of different temptation. And in the midst of this, I was on the phone with them, and this person really just started, you could just feel the anger and the frustration of why is this happening to me and all this stuff. And I just mercifully listened and let him vent and talked about all this different stuff with him. But we were talking, and now we were in position because he's in a better place now. Then I was able to really have the conversation. He wasn't willing to hear it then. But I said, look, man, all this did was it reveals wrong belief systems that are in us. Again, when you get cut, find out what your fruit's really made of. I said, because the bottom line is, you ultimately believe in your heart that God's the one in control and that if it doesn't happen, God somehow didn't do it. Now, you might have told me for weeks before that you don't believe that. But it came out during that time, and that is a lie. Amen. God's not going to force things on you. He's not going to hold your mouth back and pry your mouth open and start force feeding you this medicine. Why? Because it's free will. He gives you the opportunity to do and use the things that He gives you. Amen. So it's not on Him. Neither is it the devil. Oh, the devil made me do it. The devil's doing all these different... The devil can't do anything to you. Listen, the devil is a murderer. Okay? If he could do just whatever he wanted to do to you, none of us would be here today. We'd all be dead. He'd have killed us. Right? So he can't force it on you. God and the devil, polar opposites, are not going to force their wills on you. We are the variable that determines to take what God has given us and start applying it to our life. That is the difference between some Christians and some others. What side of the fence do you want to be on? I want to be on this side that's doing everything God has told me. I'm using every tool in my Christian toolbox. I am absolutely, with all my heart, diligently pursuing the things of God, so I'm getting this fruit in my life. And when that happens, then the nations will come to the brightness of your coming, praise God. They'll see it and they'll be like, man, I've got to have some of that. Woo! They serve a good God. This is the real deal. And then they come and start receiving what you preach. Amen. This is the way it works. So with the heart, man believes. Say it with me. For with the heart, man believes. Let's say it again. With the heart, man believes. And we just found out how to get your heart in the healthy condition that it needs to be in to see this fruit in your life. Amen. I'm telling you today, saints, that this is something that if your heart is not in a good place, I'm talking about your physical heart muscle, you're falling asleep, you're tired all the time, you just don't have any energy. I mean, we've been out of the gym for a while. I'm talking about my family. We were going before COVID, and then when that whole thing happened, it just messed us all up, and we really hadn't been working. I know you can't tell by looking at me that I'm not working out, but That was a joke. But we hadn't been. And we're about to get, you know, going again. Praise God. Because you got to take care of yourself to get the quality of life that God says you can have, right? It's the same thing spiritually. Amen? So let's stand on our feet. Woo, thank you, Jesus. All of this is in love to help, to instruct, to get us to a place to where, man, we want to see the fruit. We want to see the results. And there's a lot of things that I think that we need to be with all of our heart seeking after to start seeing some better results in our life. This half-hearted thing, it don't work. Let's get serious. Praise God. Serious as a heart attack. Let's get stronger than horseradish. Praise God. And really just press into these things because God said we can have them. Lord, we thank you today for encouraging us and blessing us and strengthening us in your word. Lord, I'm so thankful that, Lord, salvation is ours. Deliverance is ours. Freedom is ours. Healing is ours. And I'm so thankful that, Lord, you've given us a medicine bottle with the instructions that are just as clear as they're ever going to be that show us how to get your kind of life and health in our bodies. So thank you today for showing us what you do and helping us to get to this place of believing with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, loving you and believing you with all that's within us. We thank you today for all that you do in our lives and all that you are accomplishing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, praise God. Thank you guys for coming today. Thank you for joining us online. Hope everybody has a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time.